Hey Jason, how was your long weekend? Hey Kurt.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing all right. Just settling in and I don't think that Stab's gonna join us today. I would think we might get Ian, but he might be in a different meeting. I'm not sure. Jason, how was your long weekend? Sorry.
Yeah, it was pretty decent. Nice to have a break. And very smoky here, though. It's
Oh,
been not
really?
the best time to go outside. Yeah, wildfires blew over us. Like, to the level it smells like smoke, like not just like this vague haze kind of thing. But
Is it me or is like wildfires seem to be happening a lot more these years? I don't know. It seems like, I mean, like I know it would happen time to time, but it seems like it's a lot more frequent now.
it's part of that whole climate change thing.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I don't know if it's like more frequent than usual, but it feels like it, and feel like either a place is dry and fiery, or it's flooding and mudslides and stuff. I don't know. It's weird.
Kind of makes sense though, right? Places that, like, if the climate, if everything was happening relatively consistently, then things would burn kind of semi-often and it would use up all the fuel. But if things change a bunch, then places that wouldn't necessarily burn or burn as much, or like the conditions are different, then there's more fuel sitting around because it kind of accumulated. Because it didn't used to be like that there. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds logical to me, but I'm definitely not an expert, so
But there's definitely smoke in the air.
yeah, sorry you're dealing with that.
Wait for
I
the larger
feel,
implications of it.
yeah. We've had like the nicest weather in the last few days, so I'm feeling very spoiled.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's not been as hot and gross, so it's been a nice change of pace. Okay, I think this is everyone. Sub can't make it. Yaka's still out. I have a few unassigned things that we can talk about, but I think let's just start with updates. Ian, anything fun going on? Thanks for doing the upgrade last week.
Yep. No, nothing in particular to discuss, I don't think.
Okay. I did send them another email asking if they were pr ready for this to the system email to be applied across the board. I'll let you know as soon as I hear
Sure.
back. Also, I saw that you signed that tenant creation ticket to the next sprint. So thank you for squeezing that in when you have time. I have a question for you that I haven't fully investigated yet, but I just got a ticket that I was looking at, where they said Trove said that some of their tenants are losing they're changing the default loan period to something other than what we applied across the board, and that it's changing. And so one thing I'm wondering is if we overwrote during the production upgrade any like change in the settings, which is one thing, but I haven't confirmed whether what they're saying is like that it's changing like today, like on the fly or something. But I could see the production thing being the upgrade causing that, but
I mean, we set a value in the defaults. So I guess if they're changing it after we set it, then we'll clobber it every time we upgrade. So I should take that out of configuration, or do have it not apply it if it's already exists, or what do they want it
Yeah.
to look like? Or
Yeah,
is there just a different
I
value I should change it to?
no, it's like, that default applies to 300 of the tenants and 10 of them have changed it.
Okay.
So I think it's more like we shouldn't, maybe we should just remove it. But I guess my question for you then, if we do that, is will I have to remember to set something for them if we're creating tenants on the f like, new tenants? Will we have to set that manually if it's no
Yeah.
longer part of your, yeah, which is fine, if I remember to do it. Yeah, I just want to confirm that there isn't like something funkier going on because they said that it seems to be changing back, like even unrelated to that August 1 upgrade. So I don't know if that's true. I just want to confirm it, but I'll create a ticket to
I mean, I'd be
from,
skeptical that it would just change without someone or a process changing it. So, yeah.
that's what I was thinking, and I was like, I'm gonna just confirm that and then assume that it was done during the upgrade, and we can I'll create a ticket to remove
Okay.
that setting from the config. Yeah, I'll try to think if there's any other that like we wouldn't want to overwrite if they change it as well. So far, nothing has occurred to me, but I will let you know when I create that ticket. Okay, thank you. Jason, I know you were out yesterday with the holiday, so I don't know if you have any updates or things you want to chat about today.
I mean, there was what we were talking about at the end of the week where I put up, I didn't even open a pull request. I just put up the branch, but for changing the delimiter instead of refactoring all that stuff to use JSON for the amount of stuff we wedge into the ID instead of just jamming them together with commas, because that code is actually quite. There's a bunch of stuff in there, and I didn't want to just refactor that entirely on 118 and potentially introduce issues and then have to port that back and forth, especially because we changed the way we use item ID a little bit for non-returnables, for example. And it just seems like if we're going to make quite that much of a change, we should do it only on the main branch and not be cherry picking it back and forth. So I just changed the delimiters, but I did it in a branch because I wanted to hear back from anyone interested in, especially Jakob, if there was going to be some issue with that. And he says that the ZFL gateway thingy will need to also take that into account. And he wondered if we were really sure that these number signs aren't going to cause a problem for it. I did use, so I was originally just like, I mentioned to you guys I was going to use three number signs, but I changed it because I saw there's actually two delimiters. There's the one between fields, and there's the one between if there's multiple volumes. And so before they were using comma and then comma multi-vol colon as the delimiters effectively. And the code also, it anyway, it doesn't matter. It's just insane though. So I differentiated it a little bit by putting one of them is two number signs, the other one is three, but it doesn't really matter. Except if, do you think there's any chance they'd be using two number signs in a call number? Barcode or name?
I mean, I feel like that is unlikely, but I don't have, like, I've never seen anybody use a number sign in that field, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I've never seen anybody use a comma either, so I guess
Right. And that's why I put two in a row. So it's like number sign, number
yeah.
sign. So that seems like a pretty solid guess, I hope. And so I think that's probably still going to be safer to go with a light touch like that than refactor all this stuff on a branch, especially when it seems like you've got other stuff on the go too, and that maybe it'd be more useful for me to get more of the other stuff done.
Yeah, so I guess like my question for you is like, do we need to like this is still in you're still working on this, right? Or like
Well, I did it, but I did it on a branch, so I can open a
okay.
PR, but I haven't merged it yet to the 118 because I
Okay.
wanted to coordinate that with whoever I needed to coordinate with. And it seems that that's Jakob, and he's
Yep.
popping in here and there. Because, yeah, apparently, I don't know, is Edge SLNP the gateway thingy, or are there multiple pieces? I have no idea how ZFL works. But he said that Edge SLNP depends on the delimiter.
Yeah, I think I also am not very very under familiar with ZFL, so I think working with Jakob is probably the safest bet, especially with Deborah out.
Is that the component that translates in between the gateway for the NFL? And I know that they have that because it doesn't it translates the ZFL commands into the ISO messages. Is that what that component does? I
I
don't know.
mean,
I'm sure it's not.
I knew we had that gateway. I just wasn't sure if that's a single thing, the ZFL gateway, and then that is Edge SLNP, or if there are multiple modules involved, or I don't.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah, I just broadly think of the ZFL gateway. I don't, yeah, have that kind of granularity. So, all right. Yeah. Okay. So I'll convert that to a pull request and coordinate with him there or on Slack or something. Otherwise, what I was going to work on were these issues to convert some vocabularies into, well, leave them as voc like leave them as ref data, but instead of using the labels that are in the ref data, use translations so that on one ticket it's Trove wanted to fix the typo that's in the standard that we base the ref data on. And in the other one, ZFL just wants a bunch of vocabularies available for translation into German because that's what they want to see in their UI because it's confusing and broken looking to have random English strings showing up. And that makes sense to me. So that's what that's about. After I finish that, and I don't. That might be a bit because there's a bunch of different vocabularies in play here. So, once I've got that gone, curious what I should do next, or if maybe there's something more important than that that has come up in the interim that I should be looking at. So.
No, as far as I know, those are still the priority for ZFL. At least I haven't heard otherwise from Tara, and Trove will be very thankful to have this copyright code corrected. So I think that's good. After that, I am working to confirm like a punch list of like what do we still have like that it, that we're like kind of contractually obligated to finish and for Trove and what a timeline for that might look like. So I'm working with Seb and Mike on that. So once I have that, I'll be able to direct things a little bit more. But I think there's also, I think, a handful more ZFL tickets. So if we need to, we can pick those up. But I'm working on that, is all I'm trying to say, is queuing up
Okay.
what's next.
Okay, if I'm done that, I'll steer you out.
Yes, thank you. That would be great. Anything else, Jason, while you're
No.
well, okay,
That's what
cool.
I'm doing, and that's what I'm going to do next. So that's all I need to know.
Perfect. Hey, Kurt, wanted to let you know that I closed the protocol messages showing up on the supplier side ticket today. That looks good.
Okay.
And I started playing with the not sending the patron details setting. That looks like it's working well. I just want to test with Alma to make sure that I can still have, like, they can still fill a copy request for me, which I think they should be able to, but I just want to triple check. And so, what else is going on with you, or how are things going?
Just working with 156 right now. It's the ZFL thing with the stuck request that needs a new. It looks like it needs to have a new action added to be able to move it to cancel when it's in the when it's on the I guess the requester side. I talked to Tara briefly yesterday to see if she might be able to find one in the wild I could look at just to take a look at it. But unfortunately, I guess the SLMP test two or whatever is all apparently the UI is not working right now. But anyway, I don't think it's going to be a blocker. So I should be able to proceed ahead with it. Yeah, although I am a little curious on how we're actually going to test this once I put the fix in, since I don't know if we have a working environment right now. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that either. I think that Tara sent me like a message that said like which environments were kind of working and which ones weren't working, but I'll have to look that up and see if there's anywhere we can try this out.
Yeah. So what I'll probably just do is I'll just build out an integration test that puts it in that state and then have an action that will move it to canceled. And if it works in integration, I'll go ahead and put it into testing, and then I guess we'll have to see where it can be deployed to eventually test it.
What's wrong with the environments? Why aren't they working?
I don't know the specifics. Sarah just said that the UI was not functioning or something. I don't know for sure. Maybe I can try that down and see the details
Which one?
on it. She said, let me go to my site messages here. SLNP-2. They said the UI is messed up there.
Sorry, I lost my button. Sure, thanks.
But anyway, so I'll just proceed ahead with this one and
Okay, cool. Thank you. I think that there is, oh, I thought there was another. Oh yeah, this, oh wait. No, this is one that Jason might work on. This, right, Jason, this is the one that's related to the translation thing. Wait.
got my phone to see the thing.
Sorry, yeah. This is the
Yes.
ZFL translation. Okay.
That's what I'm working on.
Wait.
I should add that then.
Oh. I thought this was already in your queue. Sorry.
Yeah.
But this is the one you said you might pick up with the Trove
No,
one. Okay.
it just makes sense to do it with the Trove one. Like it's the same thing, so.
Yeah, okay.
Once I have a good
Cool.
pattern for it, I may as well keep at it, right?
Yes. That makes sense to me. Broker stuff, probably not any of us. So I was hoping that we could talk about these bugs for a minute. There's the one that Jakob messaged about this morning, and Kurt, you put in some notes about the character restrictions on the
Yeah, so the HRID is capped at 32 characters, and the thing of it is that Code will currently truncate where we're pulling it from to build the HRID, I guess is the protocol ID. So it takes the first 32 characters. So if we are getting protocol IDs that have the same first 32 characters, but then different later characters, and that's going to possibly cause collisions. So maybe we need to either lengthen that field or find a different way of building the HRIDs from the incoming protocol IDs.
Does it make sense? Like, this isn't 32 characters long, but is it because it gets like appended with some extra stuff that.
See, what are we putting in there?
Well, hopefully we have some random IDs that we're not putting a whole database into. Absurd.
I'm not sure at this point. Yeah, I guess let me see where we're pulling that in from. So we are using this extract ID from protocol ID, but let me just see if I can see what where we're taking the protocol ID from. So it's coming in from the requesting agency request ID is what we pull in the is what we extract the HR ID from.
Julie said something about like transaction ID and the request or rec ID, and I'm not sure, like maybe those are getting combined so that they're too long. I'm not sure what she was getting at there, but okay. Well, maybe when you're done with, I think you're on ILL Dev 156, like maybe we can look at this a little bit more. Just 'cause, oh. Okay, I see you're talking with her on there. Okay. So far, I've only seen that with these Alma IDs. These are their request numbers. So we'll see if we find any more of those. And then I filed this other bug too, where with the network errors that we were experiencing, like the half the time, or like most of the, I don't know how often, like the request wasn't actually being sent to the broker. There was no ISO message sent. We were seeing that they were failing to send, but the request looks like it's sitting with the broker, and so they try to cancel the request in the UI. But it's stuck in this like cancel pending state because I don't think there was ever a connection made with the broker. And so I don't know if we can do anything with this. Like I said, like there's nothing here in the broker logs. And we just get this requesting agency request ID with a given ID not found is the error.
Right.
And so that they end up having to manually close these, which is probably fine, but it's kind of confusing. I noticed that we have some like that in, I think, maybe it's in Melbourne, sorry. Where if like the request got messed up for some reason, I know I saw some cancel pendings in here. This one, the same situation, I think. There's no, oh, this one actually has something in it. So I don't know why this one didn't work. But I'm just not sure if we can get the broker to respond if a message was never sent to the broker to get it out of the canceled state, or if we have to do something in the reshare UI to just push this cancellation through so that it looks closed instead of canceled pending. But because it stays in their like active request queue,
Yeah, I almost
there's a
wonder if it
bunch of
needs to
them.
have some way to, to detect that it's not able to make a connection with the supplier and then auto close based on that.
Yeah. I think that that's, especially since it's not actually, like, I don't think this ever did reach the broker. So it's a little misleading that
Yeah.
it shows the supplier as the broker.
I mean, from the requester's point of view, they're the broker, the supplier, but yeah, I guess we need to maybe put some kind of failover in there. I guess I would need to look at the messages that it's that it's received, and then see if there's like a way to clearly say, okay, it's not able to contact any kind of supplier here. Go ahead and move it to cancel or something like that.
We'll leave this unassigned for now, just while we, because there's, I know you guys already have stuff in the works, but I think that these are going to be two. This one's just more annoying than anything, but the request ID already existing, I think, is a little more alarming. I think those network errors just caused us, like, I think these are kind of somehow related to those two, but they haven't reported more of those yet, so but they submit a handful of tickets every day, so I'll just keep after that and see if we get any more. Ian, I know that you said that the August one wasn't, even though the network timeout error said it was on August 1st. It wasn't during the Kubernetes upgrade. So hopefully
Because
that's not. I think that the request like was actually created when we were having the network errors, and so I don't know if it's like some old like leftover like it was impacted when it was first created, and now it just looks like the error is surfacing. But
I mean, that's possible. We could look at all the, if you look at the events for that. What's the earliest one?
yeah,
There's a
the
recommendation date or something like that on there.
Yeah, timestamp 7:15 was the, I think, when the request was submitted.
Oh, okay. Is there anything from August 1?
Let's see if we have
Zero
any.
eight zero one.
No, the only 08 is here, so I don't.
Okay, no, so no.
So this is weird. Yeah, so the broker like basically said this was like done, like it went unfilled on 7:15, but in this tenant, they ended up shipping this request, even though they're right, we just looked at this, sorry. So unfilled on 7:15 is what the broker is saying here, but they were able to ship it on the 16th, which maybe those are the same, like because of the time difference, or like the logs versus the tenant. But anyway, they were able to ship it, and then this it was like still active in their queue until they manually closed this request on the first.
Right.
I guess like in Alma, they got like a rejected by TPRF, the Trove tenant. So they went ahead and requested it elsewhere. And then this tenant still shipped the item. So they ended up with two of them, and it happened two items, and it happened twice. With a different supplier in the other case. But I just wonder if it got like messed up during this time frame, and like this supplier VIT didn't know that it was like problematic. Yeah, I don't know.
Can you go
It's
back one screen to the requested details order?
over here.
No, the previous one. Yeah, and the purple thing with all the stuff that happened to the, what do you call it,
Yeah.
auto trail. Yeah, so 14:52 is Australia time in this case.
Yeah, this should be whatever VIT's tenant is set to. Let me see.
So that's about 2 p.m. Sydney
Victoria time, yeah.
time to UTC. That's 4 a.m. UTC, so we wouldn't have been doing anything at that point. Or hold on, 4 a.m. That's 4 a.m. UTC is midnight Eastern, right? To Eastern, yeah, midnight Eastern. So we wouldn't have been doing that. It happened 12 hours later at noon, between 11 and 1. I think is when John was working on it.
Right. Yeah, I guess like this is the last time, if they manually closed it here, like I'm not sure why all of these other, like it was it still just trying to complete the request, like, 'cause this doesn't look like it's attributed to the user, all of these other four.
Right. Isn't this the issue that we that Jakob said means that the peer sent a message to the broker targeting a transaction and it failed because the transaction had no selected supplier.
Right, probably because there's no it's not sitting with the supplier anymore because it went unfilled according to the broker. I wonder where the let me find the located supplier link. Oh no, wait, that's not what I want. Sorry. So it wouldn't have, like, it already said that it went unfilled from this supplier VIT. So is that what he means? Like, it wouldn't know who to contact because the broker thinks that it's not actually with this tenant anymore?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
The other one, the other example is a little different. This one, I think all of the errors were like more when we expect to see them. Like, we hadn't put the fix in to prod by 7:21, I don't think. So
Right.
this one, I think this one was like maybe just part of that whole like mix up.
This
I just
you're
thought.
talking now about the request with the overflowing note field.
Could this be one? Is that what you said?
Is that what you're talking about by mix up?
Yeah, like when we were originally seeing the network errors, one was when they were created from revised requests, and the other error was related to the really long note field. And I don't think we had put a fix in for either of those by the 21st.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So this one might have just been in that time frame, but I thought this one was weird since it had the network errors on August 1st showing up in here.
Yeah, so that would be a different thing.
Yeah. But they had the same effect, is that the requester ended up with two copies of the same book. So it's weird. But I think Kurt was mentioning looking into the how the HRID is built. So maybe that is part of this, since they're getting this failed to create a new request because in the database already, they both had that same error. What I can't tell is if this is just like, a handful of things, or if we're going to keep getting reports like this. And so,
I mean, it would be worth looking through the logs for whatever that error is. I mean, what's the best thing to look for? Is it failed to create new requests because in DB there already is a record with such ID?
I think in this case, yes,
Okay. Yeah, I can
that's it.
search for that, and that's from the broker log.
Yeah.
What is this, 175? All right, I'll look in the CloudWatch right now.
Thank you, Ian. Okay. Sorry, that was such a, I don't know how I looped back there. Oh, it's because of the bread was blown up a little bit. I think we've gone through all the updates. Does anyone have any other topics that they want to touch on while we're here?
I rebuilt SLMP 1 and 2 just from the thing. It seems to be working now.
This is where Kurt was asking about which environment.
Yeah. Someone said the UI wasn't working. I just rebuilt it and it's working. It hadn't been built in a couple weeks, so I don't know if there's some intermittent whatever.
Oh, cool.
Thank you, Ian. Okay. Thanks everyone for kind of splitting your time between these various Trove and ZFL things. And if you need anything, please let me know. I am working to figure out what we what's next, like in terms of what we need to do for Trove. And Tara is helping me prioritize ZFL tickets, so I'll be working on updating this and getting some stuff queued up besides errors. So all
I'm
right.
just kind of concerned that like this network error thing has been kind of humming along as long as it has.
because it doesn't seem like we're actually having network errors, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, we should maybe prioritize that a bit more somehow. Like, I don't know, like, hopefully it is just the ID being truncated and that explains it, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it has like this tendency to, whenever something goes wrong, it says it's a network error. I don't know, or maybe it's a little overly broad in reporting that it's a network error when something happens.
Yeah, like, do we need more logging around that? Do we need to, like, I don't know,
Yeah,
something.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I think that it might be just like a little bit too vague on what's actually going wrong.
Kurt, I know you're like close to deploying or like close to, it sounded like you had made pretty good progress with the ticket you're currently working on, but when you're done, do you mind taking a look at this one?
Yeah, I'll take that on. I mean, I have a little ways to go on it, but yeah, but I can definitely take that as my next one with the network stuff.
All right. There are eight. Thank you. There are 18 occurrences of that already exist error in the last 6 days. I mean, I know that's not like a ton, but it's still just
It's more than we'd
no.
like.
Yeah. And like all of these, I'm concerned about these out of sync requests, like in this case where, you know, the supply the requester doesn't even have it in their system that they need to return an item to these tenants because they thought it was closed. And so then it's just there's some other requests that got out of sync during the other network errors, and I think it's going to be kind of challenging with their reporting to figure out like what was filled and what wasn't and stuff. So I think it'd be good if we can keep after this. But yeah, like you said, more than we would like.
Yeesh.
Ian, would you attach, is there anything to attach to this ticket with those occurrences or?
Yeah, I mean, I can look at a couple other ones. I'm not sure if it's useful just to have that those messages, but I could do context for another one, or we could just look at the one that's in there and use that for investigation, whichever.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just gonna add your note here that they're that about the number of occurrences. So
Yeah, I
I think
mean,
you're right. Like we already have this to look at, so that's probably sufficient.
I'll check what tenants and something like that if there's a pattern there.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think the two these ones were definitely from Alma sites, so I don't know if it's all Alma problems or if it's just a coincidence that these two were Alma's requester.
That sounds relevant.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a bunch of ISO sites going live at the same time that we were having those network errors, and so and that's part of why like that overflowing note thing that only happened from Alma as requester. So I don't know if those are just leftover things that had been created when that was going on or not, but okay. I think that's all I have reported from them today. So just check back in with you guys once you have some time to look at it, Kurt. Like I said, I'm going to QA this one and get it out of your in review column. I guess should we close this one since we put in a patch or two for what the initial ones, and then we'll just create new tickets as we need them. I think that probably
Which one is
makes more
it?
sense. This was the one that you did originally with the when we were first seeing the encounter to network error, and it was the revised request change and the note field change. I assume we're not seeing those particular errors anymore, so we can probably close this one and then just track the new errors in new tickets.
Yeah, maybe just say it like relates to on there or something, or
Relates to, yeah.
And those are the source of those exceptions we had been seeing.
Some of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we still have exceptions, like routinely showing up in the logs?
Yes, but they seem to have a different cause, eh?
Yeah. Network. This is the one that we were just talking about. The request already exists is the new network.
Are you on sharing your screen right now, or?
Oh, sorry. I always do that when I cancel too soon, or close it too soon. I linked these this new network error to this ticket, which I think we can close because we made the two adjustments that you for the revised request and the extra long overflowing note. And this was applied to prod, so as far as I know. So
Okay.
unless we're seeing these particular errors, I think we should close this one and just track new errors and new tickets, if that's okay.
That's cool, man.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about that. I will truly stop sharing now, but thank you. Let me know if you need anything else, and I'll circle back with you, Kurt. If I'll see if I can find any if they've reported any other issues like this in the last day. I don't think
Well,
so.
I'm still concerned that we're like relying on people reporting requests getting completely out of sync and messed up to notice this stuff. If we're having so many exceptions in the logs, like we need to get on top of why that's happening and understand some of that. Like we should be able to set up alerts when exceptions happen, because they should be exceptional.
I think that David Crossley was working on the canaries, if that's what you mean.
No, I mean Mod-RS specifically
Sure.
should not be throwing exceptions. And if it is, then we need to either handle them because they're not a problem or address them because they are a problem.
Sure. Do you want me to
Well, I don't think we're at that place yet, are we? Like we're probably still seeing a bunch of exceptions.
Right.
So I just think that should be one amongst the things that we're prioritizing is getting to that place where exceptions are exceptional. Because if we're still seeing exceptions in production, then that's just some lurking issue that may already be causing a problem. We just haven't, it hasn't fully hit us yet. Or maybe involved in some of these other things we're seeing.
So, Mallory, did you say David Crossley is working on a canary that catches exceptions, or should I add something that does that?
He had a, sorry, I'm back. He had a whole ticket for capturing various things, but I'm not sure
Yeah, I think
it.
these are probably like checking the UI, logging in, doing stuff like that.
Okay, so we need a separate one for.
Yeah, why don't you open one and send it to me about exception reporting? Do you guys want to get that on Slack? Do you want an email? What do you want?
I guess I don't know what's easiest for you. This would be fine.
If it's the same either way, maybe a Slack channel.
Sure. I'll
Seems
set it up.
reasonable.
For now, to just go right into Trove Dev from the Trove namespace.
Maybe let's have a separate channel where it gets to do its own thing.
Okay.
Because right now, as far as we know, it's constantly throwing exceptions about random things that aren't actually causing a problem. Like because we haven't been monitoring this, right? So there might be simply uncaught exceptions that are expected. So it could be potentially quite noisy.
Would this be outside of like where we have all the other alerts, or like yeah, we already have an alerts channel, right? But this is like special while we are sorting this out. Is that the idea?
I'd like to just set one up for that correlates to the Trove namespace right now. There is an old alerts channel that was for Palsy when we were debugging something years ago, and I'm not sure that it's still useful or relevant over there. So let's start with just Trove here, and then we can go on from there.
Okay.
Is the Palsy channel somehow contributing to our AWS spend on CloudWatch?
I mean, minimally.
Is this like the most boring ticket I've ever written? Like, is this enough information for
That's
you to
fine.
work from, Ian? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, a lot of the times a ticket is just like a to-do item with a checkbox. So,
right.
I mean, I guess I don't want to prolong too much, but I guess while we're here, what do you want me to search for? I guess I'll look at these exceptions. I mean, because for instance, this one that says error already exists, that for instance is coming up as a debug, so that's not going to get alerted on.
That's not super helpful, huh?
Right. So anyway, I'll do something we can adjust, but I mean, I could just catch anything that's logged at the error level, but it does depend on, you know, logging things, catching exceptions and logging them, or, you know.
Well, if it's an uncaught exception, doesn't that get logged in some fashion? Doesn't that fall through to the logs? Hopefully.
Yeah, I should throw a stack trace so I could look at that too.
Yeah. Because I think those are the ones that we really don't want, because that's just completely broken. So if that's happening, we need to know. And then, yeah, things that are at the error level seem like those are worth investigating as they come up. I don't know. But most especially the... And yeah, especially right now when we have kind of semi-mysterious things still happening from the sounds of it.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But just in general, like, I mean, yeah, we want to get rid of ModRS, but I think it's worth getting it to a place where it's not throwing unhandled exceptions all over the place. I mean, we are using this thing in production.
Yeah, Ian, sorry, I didn't realize that this what when it like this wouldn't necessarily be covered by the stuff that David had been working on. I didn't understand the difference in the canary, so thank you for picking this one up. If I find like other examples, I'll add them to the ticket. Other like messages that might be worth looking for. And I can like grab the ones from the other tickets and put them there as well, in case that's useful. But well, okay. Ian, I didn't add that to a sprint. Should I put that somewhere useful for you? I don't know if you already.
Yeah, add it to the current Trove sprint, I guess.
Okay. Done. All right. Thank you all.
Thanks, yeah.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks.